You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
We begin the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. We kick off the first segment with Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. Mark speaks with Carlton Hoffman about the recent U.S. bombing campaign in Iran.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. You got the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker. That's me on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm so glad you're here. And we've got my returning friend and yours. You know, I think this is like our MVP guest here is what we're talking about. And if you don't know, it's Mr. Carlton Hoffman, hailing from beautiful North Carolina. What's up, man?
Not too much. I mean, spring is in the air, and I was telling a friend the other day, it seems like the United States is living through a tradition I've gone through now three times in my life. First as an elementary school student in 1991, as a senior in high school in 2001, and now as a 42-year-old elder millennial going to war in the Middle East. Seems to be the record that is all stuck on repeat right now.
Isn't that terrible? Yeah, and I'm glad you're here to talk about that, because you know, I think, yeah, millennials, you know, this is not tale as old as time, but like, this one's different, because I mean, Iran is a completely different beast. There's a reason why there's, what, seven presidents haven't like gone to war and done this, because this ain't going to end well.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you could sit here and say with the first Gulf War in 1991, we had a simple objective and we knew what it was, like get the Iraqis out of Kuwait, the end, which we were able to do very quickly. 2003, obviously, whenever we kicked in the door going after Saddam Hussein, yes, some of the rationale for the war was wrong, but we knew what we were trying to do, which is go all the way to Baghdad, get Saddam Hussein out, find the weapons of mass destruction. This war, I have no clue what we're trying to do. It seems to change every day that the president opens his mouth, and we, the American people, are in for a ride on this one.
Well, and like people don't realize, I hope people realize, but like the population of Iran, it's like 90 million people. And by comparison, like the population of the United Kingdom is under 70. So this is not a small country. This is a very populated country that is the bully of the Middle East. This is not Afghanistan. It's not Iraq. This is a different beast.
Absolutely. And I would say that the thing with Iran that we all, if you look at the map and you just understand the flow of global commerce, 20% of the world's oil goes through the Strait of Hormuz. And one thing that you could tell very quickly with this military operation is that we expected, after we killed Ayatollah Khomeini, and I mean, I will say he deserves every like ugly incel virgin down there, south of purgatory. But the thing is that we seem to think
south of purgatory. Nice.
we seem to think that once we killed him, that was it, that the regime was going to be destabilized and that would be the end of it. But instead, here we are 2 weeks in now, and the Strait of Hormuz is shut down. Yeah. Americans are filling it at the pump, and we don't seem to have a clear plan of, are we going to keep bombing until we run out of bombs? Are we going to keep bombing until the regime quits? What's the plan? Nobody seems to be offering us anything on that one.
There's no plan.
No. Absolutely not.
No. And like, okay, so you started this, and we're bombing the bleep out of people. Where does this end? We have one of the senators said that he was in a classified briefing, and like there's no plan. Was it Blumenthal said that he sees we're going to send troops? Like, holy crap.
Basically, either we get a ceasefire and the regime is still standing and we will have expended however many, like $10 or $12 billion just in the first week of the war alone. And we've had global commerce, especially with the oil markets, but so much more that touches on commerce just beyond the oil shut down for 2 weeks to basically leave in power the regime that we said was so evil, which, yes, they are. They have killed a lot of Americans. They killed over 30,000 of their own people just in the first 2 weeks of January. But at the end of the day, if we're going to go to war, let's actually go to war with a plan that you've explained to the American people and had us on sign on for. Instead, we went to war on a whim. And now the thing is that this is not going to stop. I mean, we might get a ceasefire, no. But the Israelis were bombing them last year. We joined in on bombing them last year. Here we are again in March. And this conflict is not going to be one that just we quit bombing them one day and we live happily ever after. That's just not what happens in the Middle East.
No. And it's like with COVID. These deeply unserious people, their plan was to just pretend like it didn't exist, right? And that cost millions of Americans their lives. And so now, you know, I don't know how this ends. I wonder, you know, I'm nervous that it's going to be a Trump thing where he'll declare victory, you know, peace out Iran, suck on that. I hope you liked those bombs. And then just pretend like this didn't happen. And Iran's not going to go for that.
No, absolutely not. Memories are very long in the Middle East on every side of things. And I would just say that the Iranians remember back in the 80s, whenever Reagan was president during the Iraq-Iran war, we escorted tankers through the Straits of Hormuz to secure the oil, and we sank the Iranian Navy during the 1980s. You and I were both too young to remember that, but it seemed like the American public, it didn't register as a real war. But the Iranians remember that, and they've been training for revenge and screaming death to America for, like I said, even longer than both yours and my lifetimes. And they're not going to stop whether we decide that we would just want to quit and pretend this didn't happen. And at the end of the day, if we're going to go to war, we actually need to go to war, and we actually need to be prepared for it as a public.
Well, and so, I mean, what happens if we do that? I mean, the gas is going to $200 a barrel is not without it's not out of the realm of possibility. This is ugly. It seems like we got into this thing with no freaking idea of why, and now it's like, okay, well, how do you get out of it?
Yeah, that's the thing. And the enemy gets a vote on this one, and I can say that we exchanged one Khamenei for another, and this guy had his dad, his wife, and I believe some of his children killed in the initial strike. So, and he was definitely not a, like I said, soft touch person before, and he's even more hardline now after seeing his family killed and almost being killed himself by the Israelis. So this thing is going to be far from over, regardless of whether we decide to just call it quits or not.
Well, and Khamenei sucked. He was a bad person. But we had a deal in place. If the real objective was Iran can't get a nuclear weapon, we did that. We had that, and it didn't cost us a thing, because the in that deal, all it did was unfroze their own assets. It gave them their money back that was in foreign banks. It didn't really cost Americans a lot other than just, here you go, Iran. And they didn't do anything. And they were like pacified. Okay, bye and go away. Now, it's all gone with no plan.
And I would say, too, that the whole balance of power, even before we started bombing them on February the 28th, was ever since October 7th, 2023, with that horrible attack on Israel, Israel had basically shredded Iran's proxy networks. They had shredded Hamas. They had destroyed most of Hezbollah's capabilities. They had shown their own ability to go all the way to Tehran and declare air supremacy over the entire country. They could bomb anywhere in Iran at will. So this problem was contained. Yeah. It just seemed that Donald Trump wanted the legacy option, and Bibi Netanyahu saw an opportunity to cut the head off the snake.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there are people out there that say, this is a distraction from the Epstein files. It's like, I don't even know if that's accurate. I mean, I'm sure that has some to do with it, but like, I think that's taking the easy way out to say that that's what that is.
I've heard it said that ever since what happened with Venezuela, whenever we were able to go in and get Maduro in such a bloodless fashion, that people, that they get that first hit of a great drug, and then that first hit is not enough for them. They've got to keep on chasing that high. And to be able to sit there and say that, hey, I took out Maduro, the chance to say I freed Iran, and now he's saying he wants to free Cuba. The thing is that the other side gets a vote on it. These regimes that have been in power for decades know that the best that they can hope for is a human rights tribunal versus getting ripped to limb from limb by their own people. These people are not going to go away quietly. They're going to fight to the death no matter what.
Well, and I mean, you look at what happened in Venezuela. You just replaced Maduro with the freaking vice president. It wasn't a regime change. It's the same people that are in charge, just without the top guy.
And he thought that they would be, that the Iranians would be as pliable with a new head of state as the Venezuelans have proved to be. And unfortunately, that is not the case. We've had 7 Americans killed in action so far to date, and this conflict has no end in sight.
So what is the path forward here? What happens next in Iran?
We are going to continue the air campaign against them, but at the end of the day, it comes down to what are the world markets going to go through with the oil being cut off. I mean, we just had the biggest release of oil this week by the IAEA, and that is a good thing for temporary relief. But if this thing goes into a month, 2 months, it's going to be the worst oil shock, according to the Wall Street Journal, since the 1970s, when the Arabs declared the oil embargo on the United States in reaction to the Yom Kippur War. And if we go through that, I mean, we're looking at a prolonged economic recession. We've already seen the job reports of the last few months keep on getting like downgraded in terms of the amount of jobs that the economy's created. So if we're not in a recession yet, we will absolutely be in one. And especially when Americans are paying close to $4 a gallon gasoline. I think you posted a picture of Tom Tiffany celebrating the most gas prices under Donald Trump that we'd ever seen. And yet,
made, promises kept.
Thanks, but Tom. Here we are, turn right around. We're getting into some of the highest gas prices that we've experienced since 2008 and definitely 2022 when Russia invaded Ukraine.
But we're almost getting to a point where even a complete flip of power from Senate, House, all of that, that's not going to help. That's not going to help because we're knee deep in this excrement.
I mean, beyond cutting the money off, and that's the thing that Democrats are always reticent to do, and I can understand too, when American soldiers are in the firing line, that you only give them the support, and we obviously. Yeah. We wish the best success for our men and women that are over there in the Middle East. But at the same time, good politics and just being like good patriots means that we want them to have a mission. We want their mission to be clear, and we want them to be able to come home in victory and success. And as far as just what we are going to be dealing with in terms of the political calculus, it feels a lot like 2006. The economy is uncertain. Yeah. Gasoline is going up. The Republicans run both houses of Congress, but we've got a new and unpopular war in the Middle East, and it feels like deja vu all over again.
Yeah, but then, and you know, and we're going to continue this discussion on the other side, but too with Carlton Huffman. I saw as well a thing that said that that even in the early days of the Iraq War, 70-some% of the Americans supported it too. So it's wild, and I don't know where this gets us, but we're going to continue the discussion about this. We're going to talk about Bye Bye Christy Noem, the witch is dead, right after this here with Carlton Huffman on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Nightlight with Pete and Greg. Comedian Mary Mack joins the show to talk with Pete and Greg about her comedy routine, what she thinks might make a fun night, her favorite night, and her interesting takes on the Oscars.
Something tells me I'm into something. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Did you miss out on the Text to Win contest? The spring into, break into spring, multi-state Text to Win contest. Don't worry. At 7 o'clock, you'll have one more hour today to take part in it. So stay tuned to Civic Media for your keyword. Text it in via the Civic Media app and you'll be all set. And then tomorrow, everything starts again. 7 a.m., seven chances to win. Throughout the day, $200. And then maybe a bed from Verlo. A mattress set from Verlo. So stay in touch with that. Download the Civic Media app if you haven't already. And yeah, be part of it. Again, to my mom who is listening, can't enter. Sorry, you're my mom. That's the contest rules. Well, I didn't make those up. Don't yell at me. Pete, I am so very excited about our next guest coming onto the show. She is comedian, a singer, songwriter, a performer, voice actor, all the things. For me, one of the big things I've said before on the show, performed on the Grand Old Opry. Please welcome to the show, Mary Mack.
Thanks.
Hi, Mary.
That was the best, most cheerful intro I've had in ages. You know that? It's usually, this next person does comedy and she might have a couple things to say.
Oh, that's terrible. No,
please
Greg
welcome to the show. Please welcome to the show, lady comic, Mary Mack.
No, he crushed it. I'm listening to that intro going, oh my God, Mary is living my best life. So good for you. And
it's great
to have you.
Hey, thanks so much, Pete. Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Dominic, for having me back. I was really, whenever I go to Eastern Wisconsin, I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can get on Nightlight again and talk about what's coming up. And I've been watching some shows.
Oh, sweet. So,
yeah, more than normal.
Listen, we can start there. Tell us, shout them out. What are you watching?
What shows are you getting into?
Gosh, the one I'm laughing so hard at. It's so funny. And I have to look her name up because I keep forgetting her name. We have this, a similar name. It's called The Mick. And my nickname is Mickey. Yeah, and it's with Mackenzie. It's the gal who's on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And this show, The Mick, streams on Hulu. And it is, I am laughing. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night, put on TV to go to sleep, and I think I'm waking. So Tim can't sleep in bed with me anymore because I'm laughing so, and he snores, but also I'm laughing so loud. But if it's not his snoring, it's my laughing that's keeping us up. But I'm like, just, I can't stop from laughing at this show. She's such a good actress, such a great comedic actress.
Caitlin Olson. Yes. Yeah. And so that show was canceled. And that I heard nothing but great things about it. But now she's on a show called High Potential, which is also on Hulu, ABC and Hulu.
Yeah.
Remake of a Swedish show or something, but also she's fantastic.
Yeah, she is fantastic. It because she's got her character down very similar in The Mick and Always Sunny. Mm-hmm. So it takes a while to like her character in High Potential, but that's also very good, but different character for her. So yeah, really, but her slapstick is so great. I slammed my coffee down here. But yeah, really, I love slapstick, and that was like, oh, it's so funny. So that's my two bits what I'm watching, but I'm watching more. I just don't want to hog. I don't want to hog your, from you guys.
Oh, you're the guest.
Yeah,
you're the guest.
Come on.
Talk to us.
Okay. What are we doing here?
We invite you to our show. Come on and talk. We want to hear, like, are there recommendations? Are there shows you feel like that, like, you need to be watching this show right now? This is like the, you know, that, like, you tell other comics when you go do shows, like, have you been watching this show?
Yeah, I just think that The Mick is such a good escape mm-hmm. from
yes.
life right now. I think I've been searching out escape stuff. I'm a big, huge PBS fan, so I know March 22nd there's an old-timey, they're all mostly old-timey, but there's another old-timey one coming out called Bookish, Yep. And it's a mystery, and I watch all the mysteries. And my thing, and I've said it before on this show, is like I really love like PBS or especially BBC mysteries because I'm trying to go to sleep. Like I don't want anything too good to happen too fast. So I want a really slow show, and I want to be able to go to bed. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the Forsythes. I have no idea what the synopsis of it is, but.
Did we talk about Line of Duty last time you were here, Mary? That great British show?
Did I? Oh, I have seen Line of Duty, but it's been so long ago now, I might have to rewatch it.
It's so good. Yeah, I just watched it like less than a year ago, and it's so good. And I know I talked to somebody about that on the show. I thought maybe when you talked about British police procedurals that you were the person, but
it would have been me and I would have forgotten the show already, which is great for the lifespan of my streaming. I don't have to like get too many streaming services because I will forget after a few years.
I'm watching this new show called The Mick. You just talked about that a month ago. if those are your jam, there was two shows that came out late last year. I cannot wait for their second series to come out if they actually happen. But a show called Ludwig with David Mitchell, where he plays a guy who makes crossword puzzles for a living. He does puzzles and he solves murder mysteries. And then Death Valley, and I don't remember his. I think it's Timothy Spall, but he was in the Harry Potter movies, and he plays an actor who moves to a small English village. But his show that he was on was a crime show. So he solves mysteries as well. So those are really great. I didn't realize we got to go. Oh my gosh. We'll be right back though. And we'll be back with Mary Mack here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close. You're awesome. Something good. Oh yeah. Something tells me I'm
into something good. We stick with Nightlight on the Civic Media Spotlight, where Pete and Greg talk to Mary Mack, a comedian, talking about her favorite generational movies.
Welcome back. All right. You know, I talked about introducing Jason Schaff the other night here in Marinette, and he played all the great Chicago tunes. He did not play Old Days, and I love that song, Greg.
No, so, I'm sorry.
Let's get Mary's take on that. Hey, our guest is the very funny stand-up comedian and writer and voice actress. She is a Wisconsin resident, splits time. She's got a place in Minnesota, I think, and a place in Wisconsin. She's bi-statal, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Yes.
Mary Mack is with us. It's so great to have you here, Mary.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I need to sell my house in Minnesota, but I don't want to clean out the basement. So I just keep buying more crap. Yeah, I got to get to that, but I don't know. Anyways, let's not bring up the sad things.
All right. Fair enough. Let's get to some happy things, especially happy things for people who might be interested in seeing you live, because they'll have a couple opportunities coming up this month in just a couple weeks. Tell us about your show. First, let's start with Sheboygan, because it's on March 28th.
Yes. Is that March 28th? Oh my gosh, am I in Sheboygan? I think I'm in Kenosha.
You're in Kenosha on March 27th. That I know because you're...
Oh, I've got the 29th in Kenosha. Oh, this is a mess.
Oh, dear, maybe that's another year. Maybe I...
Let's go to marymack.com and find out.
Oh my gosh, maybe you're making a prediction here.
I hope not. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, no, I might have said that wrong. I'm in Kenosha on March 27th, a Friday, and then Holman, Wisconsin, by La Crosse at Drugan's Golf, and that's on the 28th. So and then I go to West Bend in May. So I'm coming down around that eastern side there.
Nice.
And I'll bring my snow shovel because I heard you got more snow than us up on Lake Superior now.
If we still need the assist by then, I will not be living here. I'm just telling you that right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got, I read that off your email, so my bad. I might have, but you have a date. Do you not have a date in Kenosha? Or I'm sorry, in Sheboygan?
I, you know, last year, I bet you pulled up last year's
I did.
Email. Last year in March, I played Sheboygan. And you know what? That's where I learned you can, that's where I learned about touch tones, touch tunes on your phone where you can play the jukebox. Oh, and I learned how much fun it is to, when people are listening to like gangster rap in a bar, to suddenly put on Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On. And oh my gosh, the joy of doing, if you're ever sad, just go to a bar where they're like, just play exactly the opposite of what they're listening to. And just don't volunteer that it was you, because they'll hate you.
Right.
But just kind of sit there innocently and watch everybody go run into the jukebox as soon as it comes on. It's fantastic.
Two things I love about this. One, hearing Mary Max say the phrase gangster rap is just wonderful, right. Period. And also, my mom's listening right now because she's a fan of the show. And I guarantee you, when you mentioned Celine Dion, she started singing. I'm not wrong. Do not argue with me, Jackie, right now. I know I'm right.
Not that I even listen to Celine Dion that much, but it's just the fun of seeing people panic like that. Because if you put in like an extra quarter, you can hop the line. You can hop the line of songs. You can make Celine Dion a priority play. Do you want to know what's the coolest part of that too? Is just like whatever bar, you know, if there's ever a place where you kind of had like not a great experience, you can be at anywhere else. You can be at your home and suddenly just play. It's the most passive aggressive thing I do, is like I'll play like Helen Reddy, where somebody was like bad mouthing ladies or something, and I'll be at home and I'll play that at a bar where they're being like sexist, and I'll have like, I am woman, hear me roar. And you can do that from your own couch. It's so much fun. It's like calling your senator. I have such a great time doing that. You guys with have anybody you're mad at? I'll play them a song. Tell me where they go and when. Just come on. I love it.
See, what I would do is if I went to a bar and did that, I would never volunteer myself as the person who did it, but I would look around for the toughest guys in the place, just like lip syncing quietly. If ever you are. What? This song really brings up human emotions for me, all right?
I want to know where Mary's hanging out in a bar that still has Helen Reddy on the jukebox. Boy, what
the best ones?
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah, isn't that funny? Why did that bar have Celine Dion in the jukebox in the first? You know what? They're digital. That's why.
Oh, yeah. It's just
coming
nice.
From this. It's coming from God, Pete.
Okay.
It's coming from the sky. God is a Helen Reddy fan, and he plays it. In any bar where they're bad mouthing women, I love it.
With my luck, I'd put that on the jukebox and I'd end up in a slow dance with one of those guys somehow. So it'd be just awkward for everybody.
It'd be the kindest cuddling you've had in a long time, Pete. You'd feel that little spoon energy. That's what men need sometimes. They need to feel like the little spoon.
I'm open to that, but if the guy wanted to take things further, I'd have to head fake him or fake an injury or something. Because I'll slow dance with a guy, but I draw the line there.
You just simply say, no, thank you, sir.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you kiss his hand and say thank you for the dance, and you have on with your day.
I love it.
I don't know how you did that.
Mary, have you played? I've heard really good things about the Kenosha Comedy Club. And is that a good, like, have you played there before?
Yes, I usually go like once a year. I like it. I like it's a big space and you can cram a bunch of people in there. I don't know why. I guess I'm just, I got a lot of in common maybe with the folks that are, I mean, I've been brought presents that were welded together for me. And so that's how I'm connecting with these folks, is like my family welded, they weld. A lot of people making homemade booze in jars and bringing that. I have a lot of things I made in jars. There's so many. I'm connecting on some. They like jokes. I like jokes. So yeah, I'm connecting on a lot of levels.
How has it been almost 2 years since you've been on this show?
I have to get out there because I live in Kenosha. I live 5 minutes away from the Kenosha Comedy Club. So I come check it out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It really is. And then in the summer, you know, so they got this magazine down there called Happenings Magazine. Mm-hmm. And he runs the comedy room and he books like little jazz fest, and he books he books Cheese Fest, and he puts all these festivals together, Frank Carmichael, and he's such so much fun. He don't tell him I said this. He might be almost 80. And he might be about 80. Sorry if anybody listening is 80, but I can't believe he has the energy because I want to go to bed right now.
Yeah.
He's booking like Thursday in the Park bands and in Kenosha. You just bring your own booze and drink in the park. And it's fantastic. That's like that's the time of I love that type of stuff. I just show me a field where I can bring my own booze and I'll have the best day of my life.
What are your, our guest is Mary Mack, the very funny Mary Mack. For more information, go to marymackcomedy.com. Did I get that right? Yeah. So I just totally forgot what I was going to ask. Oh, what is your drink of choice, Mary? Like if you go to a park and you can bring your BYOB, what are you drinking?
It depends on the temperature and the time of day.
Okay.
So, I guess if it's pretty hot, I want to mix I don't like a sweet rosé, but I like a dry, Sauve Blanc rosé type thing if it's hot. And then if I did a lot of work that day, I'm ashamed to say that I like a Busch Light, and I'm really trying not to like Busch Light because they freaking hate women. And so I'm trying not to like them, but I love Busch Light. And it's a low gluten beer. And so if I don't do that, I'll have like a Corona, which is also lower gluten beer. And then I know you weren't expecting somebody to go on and on about this, but I have lists that I keep in my head. And when I'm on my deathbed, this will be the only thing I remember. I'll be like, it's 10 o'clock and we just mowed. It's 10 a.m. We just mowed. Okay. I need some V8, spicy V8, some Busch Light and a lime all together mixed up with some ice, please. Like I won't know anybody's name, but I'll know time of day and what drink and according to activity.
You're redesigning a Bloody Mary for your type. Like it's a Busch Light, a V8 super spicy, and a celery stick. That's it.
Oh, that's nice too. I put a lime in there. Olive would probably be real good in there.
So, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like Bloody Marys?
Yeah, I do. But you gotta watch that. That's mixed because some of it's got flour in there, and that's like a real bummer.
Well, I'm just going to say, and I'm not being paid by anybody for this, but across the street from the Kenosha Comedy Club is a place called Captain Mike's.
Oh, yeah.
They have phenomenal Bloody Marys.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I go there. My wife and I go there like usually once or twice a month just for Bloodies on a Sunday morning, get our Bloody, then go home the rest of our day. You know, it's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's so weird. Like as someone who doesn't drink anymore, I love talking about drinking because I feel like I still stay connected. And man, that just made me want a Bloody Mary. Mary, you're getting some love here.
I don't even like the liquor in the Bloody. I only want just the stuff. So I can just have the V8 and whatever else. Spritzer in there. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
You got a fan, Tom, in the 262 says, I love Mary Mac.
Hi, Tom. Wow. Thanks. I appreciate
that. Mary, did you watch the Oscars at all, or have you? What kind of movies are you watching?
No, I did not watch the Oscars just because I don't know if I like the Oscars anymore, and that's quite sad to say on a pop culture show like this.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. You're under no obligation.
I'm just like feeling like rich and famous people are just seem to be getting more and more out of touch.
Mm.
So I didn't watch it. I watched The Mick instead, actually.
Well, we were just, I mean, that's what I was saying to Pete earlier, is that last year I felt like with Conan's first year and the LA fires were happening. So there was all this, there was a need to like come together and be a part of something on like a human level. And it was so much fun. And then this year, it just felt like he was trying to tell jokes to a bunch of people who didn't know how to laugh at themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem, is that you have these people who are world-class comedians coming in there to entertain. And then you have these millionaire, billionaire movie people who are like, okay, whatever, I don't care. You know, it's not fun. It's not fun at all.
Yeah. So it was Conan hosting again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had a hard time then this year.
Yeah.
I thought it was better last year, but his monologue, we were talking about this earlier, his monologue was really funny. Like, there were great jokes, and he's good at that. But I just thought the comedy throughout the rest of the show was pretty lame, personally. Tom is your biggest fan now, Mary. And he says, Polka Bar? We were talking about before. And then 715, Matt in Eau Claire says, on the conservative jukebox, I love to play Ray Willie Hubbard's Conversation with the Devil. Genius. Another suggestion for you, Mary.
That's awesome. I'm taking suggestions, so that's great. I gotta play that one.
If you want to get tickets, find out where Mary is going to be performing, go to marymaccomedy.com for more information. Mary, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thanks, you guys, and thanks for filling me in a little on the Oscars. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful...
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Finish off the last segment of the Civic Media Spotlight, we go back to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. Mark keeps his conversation going with Carlton Hoffman. The conversation shifts to the collapse of the Republican Party in Wisconsin, from its peak under Scott Walker to a hollowed-out shell dominated by Turning Point USA and Trump loyalists, and what that means for Democrats in 2026.
Really well done here by Aaron behind the microphone, producer extraordinaire, queuing up the theme song for Kristi Noem's delightful exit of federal government service. Hey, well, no, I suppose she was given a promotion by dear old Donald. And we're talking here on the Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, and I've got my dear friend and yours, Carlton Hoffman. I mean, one of the more delightful things that have happened recently is Kristi Noem is no longer with the federal government. Her and her hat and her Botox and all of the things that come with her. Although she's been replaced by a guy that asked to openly fight someone in a hearing. So I don't know. Another deeply unserious person. But Carlton, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm going to be sad that we don't have our dog-killing plastic surgeon aficionada who makes every chair her husband sits in the cuck chair. It is just going to be one of the just saddest things that we don't have her to kick around anymore. But I've got to say, it was a delight to see my friend and United States Senator Tom Tillis just shred her and take her to the woodshed in that hearing. But I mean, it just, once again, you talk about unserious people. The fact that she is asked if she is having a relationship with Corey Lewandowski in front of God and everybody with and her husband sitting right there, and she can't even lie enough to deny it. And between that and what was it? She had an Air Force pilot fired because the person forgot her blanket, only that she had to rehire the person. It's like, there's so many hits that we can talk about with her. I mean, obviously, on a serious note, we definitely want to just commend the people of Minneapolis for coming out and resisting. And we just remember the souls of Alex Pretty and Renee Good, who she slandered on her, like said, before the corpses were even cold. Yeah. She's already calling them domestic terrorists. And so it's good that she's gone. At the same time, Mark Wayne Mullen, as you referenced, wanting to fight the Teamsters president in the middle of a Senate hearing, which in some ways the redneck in me would have delighted to see that. But at the same time, on the serious side of things, he does not strike me as the smartest bulb in the bunch. And I think that he'll be there, much like Kristi, to take orders and say yes. He just does not seem to have his own ambitions as she seemed to with the $220 million ad campaign that you and me paid for as taxpayers.
Yeah, it's a good investment. It's an investment, Carlton. That was his investment. Yeah, Mark Wayne Mullen. What was we ranked? As his very famous line asking Linda McMahon, what was we ranked in education? I don't know. It's wild to see, but that's, I mean, there's no guardrails. You know, Trump 1.0, we had people that actually
you know, had some experience and some patriotism. You know, Rex Tillerson was one of them. John Kelly was another one. You know, people that were like
Jim Mattis.
Yes, yes, right. And the sad thing is, you know, from Tom Tillis leaving the Senate to Mark Wayne Mullen becoming part of the administration, the people that people are getting promoted who shouldn't be, and people are leaving who are the guardrails of the crazies.
It's hard to be an independent thinker and be a Republican these days,
right?
Because you are expected to salute and say to dear leader, how high should I jump on this one? Mm-hmm. Or just whatever. I mean, we see just last night that Trump was in Kentucky going after Thomas Massie, who has been doing the Lord's work, even though there'll be some stuff that I disagree with him on and others of your listeners might disagree with Massie on. But when it comes to the Epstein files, the president himself promises transparency on these things. Massie has pursued it. And in return, the president and all his acolytes are going to Northern Kentucky trying to take him out. And we still have RFK Jr. in charge of Health and Human Services with the largest measles outbreak in the United States this century. And him admitting that he snorted coke off a toilet seat. I mean, that expires. Once again, these are the people that are running the United States of America. And you've got our Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, once again, seeming to take his jollies off of watching things blow up on television, while at the same time, we're only finding out in days afterwards that over 150 U.S. soldiers have been wounded in this conflict with Iran right now. So we are not getting the full picture of what damage is being done to the United States, our assets in the Gulf. And we could do an entire program of just the mistakes of cabinet by cabinet secretary of what's going on under this administration.
There's no plans for anything. And, you know, I look back at, we were talking with Carlton Huffman, with this war in Iran, we can't fight a forever war. I mean, those interceptor missiles, they are hundreds of millions of dollars a pop for those THAADs and Patriots. They take a long time to build, and we have to fire many of them at one missile, and they're not always successful. So, like, I mean, they're going to run out. This is not an endless thing.
And we've known this for a while now, definitely during the first Trump administration, but also too with our assistance to Ukraine during the Biden administration. We found out how quickly we can burn through all this high-tech ordnance in a very quick fashion. Whereas the Iranians, we're taking down $30,000 drones with a $3 million missile. That's an exchange rate that is not sustainable in the long term.
No. And before we head to break, you know, what kudos to Ukraine for, you know, stepping up and sending their drone folks, take them away from their front lines and sending them to us when we really haven't been the best of friends to them. I mean,
while we're talking about taking the oil sanctions off of Russia, which is basically Putin's financial lifeline.
My God. We are in the upside down right now is what's happening. But I'm excited to talk to you about, on the other side of the break, the downfall of also RPW, Republican Party of Wisconsin. What is going on there? What does that mean for 2026? And talk about our buddy Tom Tiffany. So stick around. We're with Carlton Huffman on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.